Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job has begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Now on Food FM, you're listening to Bread and Butter with Caroline Kenyon. Caroline and her guests make sense of the world through food, from politics to farming, making and cooking.
Online, on smart speakers and on Listen Again. This is Food FM.
Hello and welcome to our latest edition of Bread and Butter. I am really delighted to welcome our guest today. It's Theon Leitenberger. Theon, I think you might be our very youngest guest on Bread and Butter. So tell us about you.
Hi, Caroline. Thanks so much. It's great to be here. So I'm 15 years old and I'm living in the northwest of Ireland. And I've always had a great passion for cooking and food and everything about it. My dad's a gardener, so we always had fresh vegetables, organic vegetables coming to the kitchen. So that's kind of where it started. I just always loved being able to make food for myself, and I think it's so important for young people to know how to cook food.
Wonderful. So that's really a very modest introduction, Theon, because I think when you actually rang me and absolutely 10 out of 10 for initiative on picking up the phone to us, you said that you're running your own cafe. And I thought, that's amazing. Yeah. What was I doing at 15? I was probably reading some kind of silly, trashy magazines and talking about boys. Tell us about your cafe. How did that all come about?
Oh yeah, so I'm living in a very rural area in Ireland and there's an organic centre there. So it's like a garden centre. And actually when my dad came to Ireland from Germany 20 years ago, he actually started this organic centre growing vegetables there. He was the head gardener. So what I did there, I went in one day and I was looking for a job because I thought now's the time I should start making money. So I started off washing dishes there, and then the first day she says, oh, could you make a pie? And I was like, oh yeah, I'll make a pie. And she really liked the pie. So then I worked on, and then a few weeks later, I ended up doing all the food and cooking there. And now I'm making up new menus every weekend. And yeah, so I've taken over the cafe now, the food element of it.
That is absolutely wonderful. So so tell me, how do you fit all of this in with your schoolwork? Because I imagine your parents have a few thoughts about that.
Oh yeah, so I'm very lucky the cafe is only open Saturday and Sunday at the moment, so I can fit in nicely. And I do the shopping every Wednesday. I do up a list for my boss and she gets it, and then on a Saturday morning, I go in at about 8 o'clock, so there's no going out anymore on a Friday or Saturday night during the weekend, so it's fine.
Yeah, so tell us a bit about the cafe. What does it look like? What kind of menu have you created for it?
Yeah, so the cafe, it's very open cafe, the kitchen as well. There's a huge big window looking in, so it's very open and people can look in if they want to see what I'm doing. It's kind of cozy enough, the seating area. There's not many tables. There's maybe 7 or 8 tables in total. And I make vegetarian food there only. I don't use any meat. And sometimes I offer vegan for all our vegan friends. So I make pies, soups, quiches, stuff like that.
Wonderful. And who's your chef inspiration, Theon? Or is it all coming out of your own head?
Oh, I have a lot of inspirations. One of my favourite celebrity chefs is actually Rick Stein. He's from England. You probably know him well. And then in Ireland, I love Doreen Allen, Rachel Allen, and everyone in Ballymaloe. And I actually spent a week in Ballymaloe in December, and I'm going now next week for another week. It's such an amazing place. They're so authentic there. They make everything on the farm themselves. They make their own flour, milk, butter, cream. I just love that, and how everything's organic and they've greenhouses. They're just so great.
I think all our listeners are going to be absolutely green with envy that you've have been to Ballymaloe and you're going again. So is that to do courses or to help there? What are you doing there?
it's to do work experience, but it's so much more than that for me. They put me up, I was treated with royalty there. I had my own cottage there with the kitchen and sitting room right beside Doreen Allen's house. And I was working the bread shed. They taught me how to make sourdough. And I'm sitting into demos as well, milking cows. So I get to experience all sides of Ballymaloe.
Fantastic. How did you find it the first time you milked a cow?
It was actually great. They actually have machinery to do it, but they let me do it with my hands. I asked to do it. A great feeling.
Yeah, it must have been kind of slightly scary as well, because, I mean, they're big creatures.
They're very big. But they're actually such intelligent creatures. He said every morning they go in the same order to the milking slots. There's about, I think they have 12 cows, but every morning it's always the black cow goes first and then this cow and that cow. And they go out, they just know what to do every morning. It's amazing.
That is wonderful. No, I do think they, I agree with you, they are very intelligent creatures. Tell us a little bit more about your intriguing family background, Thien. So you say your father's from Germany originally, and he came over to create this organic garden.
Yeah.
And does he come from a rural farming background, or is that something that he came to through his intellectual process?
His mum always had a garden, and she actually has the best tomato seeds. He actually named them after the iris tomato seeds. They're huge, plum, really juiced tomato seeds. And she's been saving them for, like, I think 50 years now, maybe. Every year she collects them and then adds them and makes them better and better, like modifies them. So he kind of learned from her. And then he went to college for it in Scotland for a few years. And then he decided to come to Ireland and he started that. And now actually there's a few books out on gardening. And him and my mum run a seed company selling vegetable seeds.
How fascinating. So is your mother Irish?
She's Irish, yes. She came from Sligo in the northwest.
And from a rural background?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's running in your veins, isn't it? This passion for food and the commitment to the, you know, the very best of food production. So mm-hmm. Do you have brothers and sisters, Thien?
Yeah, I have three sisters and two brothers.
Oh my goodness, there's a lot of you. And how many of you are involved in the world of food?
In the world of food, my older brother, he's an organic farm inspector. So he makes sure that all organic farms are keeping up with the standards. And he also runs an organic egg farm with my sister's boyfriend.
Oh, wonderful. But I presume he's not allowed to inspect your father's garden. That sounds might be a slight conflict of interest there.
Yes, it is.
Wonderful. So where are you in the pecking order? Are you in the middle or the youngest?
I'm the second youngest. And then the rest are all in their 20s, so they've left home one of them's living in Bristol and one of them's living in Barcelona, so we're all far away.
Oh, yes. So, but it sounds like that this really emotional engagement with food is something that goes very deep for you as a family. So it were really you brought up as vegetarian?
No, I'm not vegetarian at all. I love meat. But I do think it's important not to eat as much meat as we do, and to eat good quality meat, I think, is the most important.
Yes, yeah. I think many people would agree with you, definitely. But you say that the cafe is vegetarian / vegan.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit more about the inspirations for your cooking, Thien. So you mentioned Rick Stein. What is it about Rick Stein's approach that you find so stimulating?
I really love his way of cooking. He does it in such an enjoyable way. And I love his travel shows as well. And he went to Greece and all the places. I actually went last summer. I got the amazing opportunity to go on a food expedition. So I went from Greece to Ireland in a car over a period of, I think, a month. I think we drove. So spending a few nights in each country. And my dad, he took home new crops from each country. And I found so many amazing recipes that I'm now making at home in Ireland. And I went into so many different restaurants in all these different countries, and they taught me their specialities and so many interesting things. Like, found actually in Serbia, there was a farmer's market, and we were late to see it. And there's only one stall left, and it was a butcher's stall. And he had wild boar everywhere. He had a wild boar head sitting on the table, and it was just amazing to see. And he just cut me off a bit for free to let me try. And it was so delicious. And I think wild food is actually so important that we should eat, but not too much of it. It's just so different to the farmed food. Like, I was given two pheasants over the Christmas period from Ballymaloe, and just the whole process of plucking them and then roasting them, and you appreciate the food so much more when you do it yourself, I think.
Absolutely. I think it gives you a real respect, especially if you're eating meat. And I think we should, you know, if you are a meat eater, one should really respect the creature that died for you.
Yeah.
And as you say, the plucking and the drawing is part of that process of respect, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think people who eat meat, a lot of them actually don't think about what the animal actually went through. And I think if you're going to eat meat, you should be able to kill the animal yourself and do it yourself.
I think I really would agree with you there, Thien. Yeah. I mean, I waver on the matter of eating meat myself, and I largely eat a plant-based diet, but every so often I have a bit of meat and I have a bit of fish. But it's because I live in a rural area in rural North Lincolnshire. I know where the meat has come from and I know it's high welfare, but I'm not sure if I could stun a cow in order to supply myself with beef. That might be going a bit far, and I toss and turn on it.
The more psychological thing of, would you actually kill an animal if you're going to eat it, or would you have to make someone else do it? I think that's
exactly. Make somebody else do your dirty work. I think that's such a good point. Definitely. Mm-hmm. So tell us a bit about Irish food, Thien. How do you see the Irish food scene? Because it sounds like you've, for somebody so young, may I say you are a consummate networker. And I salute you. But it seems like, I mean, obviously, Dorina Allen is the queen of the Irish food scene. So tell us how you see it and how you might see your place in it in over the next decade or two.
Like, I was talking about Ballymaloe earlier. I think Ballymaloe is my absolute dream come true. If I wish for anything, it would be a place like Ballymaloe. They have everything. They have pigs, all their vegetables, and then they have a cookery school on top of it. It's everything I could ever wish for, and that's why I love going down there so much. Irish food, I always thought in the past that because of the weather, we don't have access to vegetables all year round. Like other countries, they have two tomato seasons. We just have one where they last not even too long. But when I went to Cork, I realised, and I went to Cork in December, and there's just so much still good food. Like the butter in Ireland is amazing, and England as well, and the cream and the dairy produce because of the green grass and everything. So I think we do have access to such great ingredients, and even along our coastlines in the west, all the seafood we have is amazing.
And what do your friends make of all of this? Because, dare I say, you are quite unusual for a 15-year-old that you're so passionate about one thing. And, you know, as I reference myself, most 15-year-olds are kind of thinking about socialising and fun and all that sort of thing. Are they proud of you? Are they puzzled?
Yeah, I kind of live two different lives. I have my one for socialising with my friends, and then I have the cooking one. But they kind of overlap a wee bit. My friends, they think it's interesting that I do it at such a young age, and they actually really support me a lot with it, like trying my food, and they really like it. Another thing I'd like to talk to you on this podcast is the young people and the problem in Ireland with them not knowing how to cook.
Absolutely. I mean, in Britain, we talk about three lost generations to cooking. So I don't know if it's the same in Ireland,
I think definitely,
see it going back. So is that something that's part of your mission, Thien?
Yeah, I think it definitely is. Dorina Allen, I was talking to her about it. She ran a campaign last summer to bring in a new subject to schools that would teach students how to cook. And not just to cook, like HE's okay in that sense, except for it's not mandatory and it's a choice subject. And it's primarily actually aimed at girls, HE, I think. What her subject idea was to do was to incorporate all subjects into this new subject of food to like have the history of food, the geography of food, and even like there's art and food as well, and to talk about where food comes from. Even if they could grow their own food in schools and then take it into HE, wash them, and they could see the whole process of it.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. How far did her campaign get?
She got thousands of signatures by people, and then it was brought to the Department of Education, and what they said was, students have enough on their backs with all these core subjects, which are so important, like math, that they shouldn't learn how to cook before doing their leaving cert.
That is very disappointing. I mean, it won't be a surprise to you, Thien, that, you know, as the co-founder of Food FM, and I'm involved in food in all sorts of other ways, that I just think food is so central to life, and it's pretty much the key to everything. It's the key to your physical health, your mental health, the planet. That is disappointing. Well, I hope that you and Dorina together might be able to kind of renew the attack.
A question I always ask is, could you survive without maths, Caroline?
Well, I would say that I probably pretty much do. My maths is fairly weak. So, but even a great question.
Even other subjects like maths, English and SVAT and all of these subjects we learn. But the one thing you can't survive without is food, because we eat it so much. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm also a great believer in, you know, from little acorns, mighty oaks grow. I mean, is it possible that at the cafe you could run cookery classes for other people of your age? Do you think
we'll
you could find some sponsorship for that?
In summertime, actually, I've been offered to do some cookery courses. And
wonderful.
They might be aimed at kids, yeah.
That would be fantastic. But I think it's so important for it not to be just a, you know, it's a rather privileged sector of society. It needs to be for everybody.
Yeah, I think so. And that's why I think schools are the perfect way to implement it. But I don't see why our Minister for Education won't allow it. But another thing is, in Ireland, we have no Minister for Food, which I think we should have for our restaurants and for our cafes and the actual third-hand part of food.
Oh, I'm with you all the way there, Thien. I'm glad to hear that you're a political young man, because we need we need young people to be political. Otherwise, we won't have change. No, absolutely on the same page about that. So just tell me a little bit more about how you see your progress happening over the next few years. I mean, I know you've probably got some fairly tedious exams looming, and then do you think you might actually go to college, or do you think you just want to get stuck in straight away to the world of food? How do you see it panning out for you?
I think what I'd like to do at the moment, I haven't fully decided yet though, is to get as much experience as I can working in kitchens and to learn by that. Like, on my holidays, I've never learnt as much by meeting new chefs, going to kitchens, even cleaning up. But the recipes I get back and the knowledge about which foods go together and which don't, I think would outdo the amount I'd learn sitting years in college with a teacher. But I think experience is the best way for me to learn. So I think after I do my Leaving Cert, which is in 2 years, I'm going to go out, maybe might like to go to France or Germany, or even America, and go to a restaurant there for a few years and learn everything then, and then come back and do something with it all.
That would be a great adventure. Well, if you're coming to the UK, Thien, let me know, and I'm sure we can introduce you to some really exciting people. They will be very fascinated to hear what you're doing and to encourage you. I think it's wonderful. I think you're a beacon to other young people, and it's so lovely to have met you, and I wish you every good luck, and as I say, green with envy about your next trip to Ballymaloe.
Thank you so much, Caroline. I'm so happy to be on this show as well. It's great.
Oh, it's a delight to have you.
It's a delight to be here, and thank you so much for today.
You're listening to Bread and Butter with Caroline Kenyon.
To find out more about Food FM and our content, go to foodfmradio.com.